You're listening to Jimmy Disu.
Jimmy Disu.
Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Morning again, you're welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. A get real quick to my good friend and party man, Kofi Bartels. You know, I hope I think he's down with some kind of flu, so I wish him speedy recover. Does anybody remember what? Sheriff, do you remember the joke about speedy recover?
No.
Really?
No.
Shagun, do you remember the story of Speedy Recover?
Yeah, Sheila Peters.
Yes, Sheila Peters.
I didn't remember.
He wanted to say Speedy Recovery, and he said Speedy Recover. So when there was so much, there wasn't much of social media then. So when they made so much, fuss in the papers then, there were no social media. He now released the song. In this song, he said, Grandma, not my language. At that point, I gave up. Morning, everybody. I have my paddy man here. You know, in life, you have some people that are your paddy men, you know, maybe not people you grew up with. I couldn't have grown up with this, excuse the word, rascal that is sitting next to me. But he's my paddy man any day, and usually he's my go-to person when I need to brush up my ideas, get some things going. His name is Segun Agbede. He had the misfortune of going to Igbobi College. Well, I had the fortune of not going to Igbobi College. But for all intents and purposes, just to rile me, to get me worked up, he's wearing an Igbobi T-shirt and an Armed Forces Remembrance badge. And then asking him, what's your business with Armed Forces? He says, well, they're fighting for us, I agree. And that, okay, his late dad, my good
was
papa,
was a soldier.
Once a soldier, always a soldier. His soul keeps patching on. Shagun, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, JD. Good morning. It's an absolute pleasure to be with the dynamic duo. Good morning, Sheriff. You know, I always enjoy you guys in radio in the morning.
He's another party always man
give,
of man.
Even always giving each other a hand, you know, cracking some jokes that we, the initiated, do understand. You understand? And always trying to throw each other under the bus. It's all good. It's all good.
He's my party.
So good radio.
He's my party man, but I'm always very careful that the kind of things I will discuss with you, I cannot discuss. If you get what I mean.
I think
talking about this, because Shagun is here, we just want to have a chit-chat for about an hour. There's no fixed topic. Shagun, I saw something yesterday, and I got inspired to ask this question because of the badge that you're wearing. There's a gentleman called retired Colonel Stan Labo. After Captain Blade, that is another man that I respect. He's extremely intelligent. In fact, after watching him yesterday, I had to call Captain Blade to, and I think his other, I think he was cosmate with Captain Blade. But that's not the issue. The issue is that he was on Arise TV and was there to, you know, take part in the program. And it got, to the issue of security. And he felt that, you know, we had been pussyfooting, to put it mildly, about, you know, the security. He felt there were a few things. I don't want to run through all that. The most significant one was his when he said, I can't put it in the words that he put it, but I can paraphrase, and I hope that I'm right, to the effect that we do need a very effective military policy and a practical and effective commander-in-chief. The example he gave caught me. I thought of it, and I didn't think of it in that way. You know, recently on this thing that happened in Plateau State, the president hasn't been there. And rather, he was in Lagos, supposedly to go and pray in the mosque on Friday. And of course, you know what happened, all the Ibim power and whatever, which in itself was good. I think that was a divine thing. But rather, he felt that, look, Christmas would have been a good opportunity. The commander-in-chief, he goes in military fatigue, he's allowed to, he's the commander-in-chief. He goes, well, I don't I don't know whether a president wants to wear military clothes, but for the ops, he goes, lands in a military chopper, right, bang, talks to the victims, has a word or two with the military guys to mobilize them and so on and so forth. And at some point, when talking about how bad things had gone, the man started shedding tears. And I shouldn't let you know this. I have a very little threshold for anything tears. So I quickly tuned to something else, you know. But don't use that to blackmail me.
So if I start crying when I'm asking for my balance, will you give it to me?
Your balance has gone with Papa now. Okay. Papa told me in the dream that it was going on.
Okay, all right. Let's.
I haven't had time to discuss with Sheriff because you know we just meet this morning and ready to go. So thankfully you are here. If you had seen what I saw with a retired colonel weeping about what the armed forces had become, give other, how would you have felt?
You know, you said something about first things first. When you spoke of the president in military uniform, I had a brief flashback to President Sheu Shagari in Navy uniform. It was amusing. One thing our government, lacks. You know, in fairness, you always talk about media advisors and all that.
Yeah.
It's all about the optics, you know. About the optics. I remember American presidents flying to Afghanistan,
yes,
unannounced, flying to Iraq. President Biden went to Ukraine, Kiev, yes, is an active war zone.
Yes.
He went there. He flew to Israel just after the October 7th Hamas attacks, terrorist attacks.
Mm.
So why hasn't our president been to Plateau?
I don't understand.
You know, and you know, the truth of the matter, and I do agree, people say your station, different platforms, the Southwest, we kind of live in a bubble. But the truth of the matter is that what is happening there is part of it can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a German philosopher who said something along the lines of, they came to take the Jews. I said nothing because I'm not a Jew. They came to take the Roman Catholics. I said nothing because I wasn't a Roman Catholic. They came to take the communists. I said nothing because I wasn't a communist. When they came to take me, there was nobody to speak for me. So the fact of the matter is, I think it's, you know, I'm not, there's something called constructive criticism. You know, there's so much going on right now, and a lot of it is not particularly pleasant, but security is paramount. You need to secure the lives of the citizenry. We can't arm ourselves. So it has to be the president, the armed forces, who we're celebrating between now and January 15th. They have to do this job, and in fairness, the armed forces are doing the best they can under very difficult and tenuous circumstances. It would have been brilliant if the, at that period in time, the commander-in-chief of the armed forces had gone. He doesn't even need to wear, he can just wear a French suit or something simple.
He can wear whatever he likes,
the dresses. Yes. But just go there, go and interact with it. I don't know why, just a call. And it will go such a long way. Then people know that they're not just lost. I hear there are places in the north that they're not even under local government control.
No.
That they've been taken over by terrorists and bandits.
Yes.
You know, so these are the things that we need to look at, and don't allow our military to fight. Because, as I said, my father was a soldier, and I like to refer to myself as an army brat. And I know the sacrifices therein. And even up till now, I have younger cousins now who have joined the military, then the Air Force. And these guys are the best and the brightest. So we're talking from the top, from the bottom up and the top down. So, you know, let our boys do the job.
What I think, Chegu, and by the way, this is not an interview program. This is a discussion program. I will soon invite you to join in. What I also think, Chegu, is that there's far too much politics in the air. The government it seems unprepared and seems to place a larger premium on politics than even the welfare of the country. I could have an argument with anybody on it, but I'm not likely to shift on that. And like you said, again, which is in our own area, the optics is that a larger part of government is perception. That kind of perception you have as a child, 5, 6, 7 year old perception that your dad is a superman, And then when you hear children say, I will tell my daddy for you, you know, that is the kind of perception you want to draw from your people. You're not a Superman, no, but at least let them have that confidence. What does it also do? You can't win any security situation without civil involvement. And unless the civil side of the equation is galvanized,
you know? Hearts and minds.
Yes. God bless the late Brigadier Tychus. When he joined the military, he didn't need to. Not in any manner at all. Not in our time. He joined the military during the Civil War. Okay? The same with Yinka Taiwo. Late Navy captain or something. Well, let me promote him if he wasn't a Navy captain. Yinka Taiwo. These people joined during the war because, you know, they joined the army and military because they wanted to fight for their country. But what we have is, like Blade said, sitting right where you are, that politicians can't be creating problems for military to come and solve. After a while, the resolve diminishes. You can't keep having an armed forces where this general is accused of this and that is accused of that, misappropriation, misalignment, all these big words, authority stealing, no people stealing, and expect the morale of the soldiers to be high. You can't be paying National Assembly members all these. Yes, it is true. These gentlemen go to the same market we do. We eat from the same pot. You understand what I'm saying? It's not as if they are a privileged set where they have their own market and whatever. So I think that there's a need for the government itself to pull itself. And I think we could do with a more professional military than we have. I mean, when you still have, you know, people wanting, rather they want to be oddlies to any Tom, Dick and Harry than go and get the work done. You want to say something?
Yeah, I'd like to say, you see, for me, maybe I'm biased, but in all honesty, I find the Nigerian military has been generally, has been given a bad name over the years. The Nigerian military is comprised of superbly trained officers and men.
Definitely.
And I won't mention anything, but I had the honor and privilege. I met the commander of the 82 Div, Major General M.T. Usman, superb gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes into someone and sits down, you probably want to say hello to, because he's so quiet and unassuming, perfect gentleman.
Mm.
And everybody under his command, you know, went there to see him about some issues. And
the same that he said even about the current chief of army.
The chief of army staff.
Yes. Those of us who are not military were quite excited when they heard his profile.
But they're completely subservient, as well should be, to the political class. So unfortunately, they will follow whatever they are told, they will follow. The truth of military rule is an aberration. It is an aberration. You know, they are not. The military are supposed to be the barracks or defending the borders of the country, not ruling the country. So the political class, look at this. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but along the line, the last government, I don't like to mention the president by name, because it was 8 years of waste and desolation. They claim that they knew the sponsors of Boko Haram. Did they ever mention them one day? How do you get your military to fight?
Well, my speculation in that regard is quite simple, which I think is what I think the major problem of both the military political class in this dispensation really is what is going on within. What is going on within.
There's a form of collaboration.
It's going to be difficult to convince me otherwise. You look at some top guys who have been accused of this and accused of that, and if you look at what we have, you send it, you know, there's an air vice marshal, you know, for example, go bring equipment. I think it was during Buhari's time or the previous one, and they rolled for non-functional helicopters and things like that. We had a lot of equipment malfunction, true or false, but we did get feelers about equipment malfunction for the guys up front. That's not going to produce a fantastic military. Then nepotism is the greatest enemy of everything that we do in Nigeria. And the politicians never like to hear this, but I'm not going to be a brigadier, which must have happened during Buhari's time. If you feel the high level of command with your people,
I've been compromised.
I'm a colonel. You now tell me to go do some dirty job whilst you guys are drinking champagne. I'm not going to put my best into it. And I somehow think that one of the things the government might have to work on also is the morale. I don't know anything about the tactics. I'm not a military man. I don't know whether your dad told you anything about tactics. But I do get frightened of you once in a while. If I'm not too sure if you haven't kept his gun.
No comment.
But generally, okay, talking in more general terms, even the security, because that one came from, in general terms, what's your assessment of this government in 7 months?
The jury's out for me, but I think they made one or two missteps. The issue of the removal of subsidies, neither here nor there. It was always going to be removed. The way and manner it was removed, maybe they should have put palliatives in place. And when I say palliatives, not send everybody a bag of rice or anything, but maybe decreasing the price of, you know, increasing the number of buses on the road, BRT, having more train lines and all that. So
getting people ready.
Ready, exactly. So maybe it could have been handled better, but it's happened. But it goes down to optics. I think the one that I found so offensive personally, I mean, things are tough and they be getting tougher from the last dispensation. So what they've created, I if there's anything I have to say thank you to our last president for, is that he taught Nigerians to be prudent. Not to be wasteful. You understand? You have what you have, you hold. But at the end of the day, we are in this dispensation, increasing price of oil, but the politicians are not showing any sense that they get it. It's like us against them. You know, we are them and they are just, you know, they're not leading us, they're ruling us. How can you buy vehicles of 160 million each?
Each.
Why? For what? That's to me, that's insane. And I've said it on my own programs also. I say everywhere, it's insanity. Why would you do that? Why you can't even patronize innocent or innocent?
Innocent.
You can't. Why must you drive? And the question: what roads do you want to drive them on?
No, but in the first instance, let's look at it critically. Let's be critical in this. What would an honourable need a car for? In terms of his function, he has to get to the assembly and back. All over the world, people go to work and back. His contemporaries in the most developed economies are not given vehicles by the government. No sane government, like you said, will be giving cars to 400 people. So what does he need a car for? It is a car for, like, that senator, I've forgotten his name, who appeared to me to be arrogant and lost with reality of the world. So you want to do for your over what do they call it now? Oversight inspection. Oversight, if you go to your constituency, how did you come in the first place before you became senator? So don't you think this would have happened? The Senate is ready to guarantee anybody who wants to buy a vehicle to go get a car loan from Access Bank or Union Bank, and these people have the programs ready. So you can go and buy a car of your choice. They will back the whatever. So you can use that to get to your constituency and back. If you are going on oversight function, there's a ready-made pool.
The pool cars, the coastal cars, buses.
And usually you'd go in groups of 12, yes. 20, whatever. So are you now telling me that if they're going, let's even say from Abuja to Kaduna, for sake of argument, you want to go and inspect the Kaduna refinery, are you going to be putting the committee for petroleum about 30 vehicles on?
30 high-end luxury vehicles on.
But when you see, for example, the day I saw this gentleman's interview, I said to myself, is my fate being put in the hands of this kind of thinking? It's unimaginable, Segun.
You know,
it's unimaginable.
For me, I see it. You know, it's all about perception. It's 9/10 of reality. It's about the opt. Can you imagine a situation where this came up, And the National Assembly say, you know what, because of the cost of living crisis, because we can't feel the pain of our people, we are going to turn it down. We're entitled to it. It's not everything you're entitled to that you must take. We're entitled to it. But, you know, because you want more money in circulation, you want to help with this project and that project, you know, we turn it down, you know.
Not one.
Even
has turned it down.
You know, even the Labour Council.
Who does it not speak?
He told everybody join, everybody collects, everybody's leaking from the trough. Why?
But that's why I also tell my people that it's not when you criticize some of us, I don't support any. I don't like politicians. Generally, I do have them as what you would call personal friends because our thinking about life is completely different. Why do I say so? I have some of them, okay, that you do know. It looks like when you start mentioning things like this, next thing you say is, don't you think I'm entitled to get a car? Do you know how much I spent to become a senator? And then my hand go fall, like Moody would say. I just lose it because our people are complicit in that. This idea of buying votes and so on and so forth, selling their conscience. You go and get seedlings for seedlings for pear and plant them, and you want to be sucking a pineapple when the harvest comes. It's not going to happen.
It's a lack of compassion that's from being shown by the
political. Don't you think it goes beyond that, Segun? It goes deeper into upbringing.
It's a lack of compassion. It's also pathological and endemic corruption. You know, when you want to acquire so much, how many cars can you drive? How many houses can you
own? Isn't it a mental dysfunction?
It is. That's why I said, that's why I use the word pathological. When, you know, corruption is, you know, basically social development. When it comes pathological, it comes medical. That means your soul has been perverted. You know, and it's sad. But, so I just wish, you know, the political class, because for me, I don't have anything against them.
I wish we could use the traditional whatever for those who are pathological. We could use the traditional treatment.
And then I saw a video.
Then I saw
a video on social media the other day. It was my senior, Yemi Oshibaji, former vice president, professor.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the reason why corruption is so endemic and rampart in Nigeria. It's because there's no accountability.
There's none.
There are no consequences.
There are no consequences.
That's the word he used. There are no consequences. So you get away with it. You know, if you go and steal a loaf of bread on Keffi Street now, you'll be lucky that you don't get beaten to death.
No, they'll probably look for the nearest side. I got to take a break now.
You understand?
9:24, we got to take a break any second from now. The adverse erosion. When we come back, we'll allow you to join the conversation. So don't go away.
You're listening to Jimmy Disso, right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Okay, you're welcome back. I was hoping and thankfully the mic was off so you couldn't hear all the nonsense things that we were talking about. Check back with it, yeah. Just having a chit-chat, of course, which would lead to going, we'll both go and have a nice coffee next door. So relax, you'll be taken care of.
I trust you. Hey, Muni, one explosive bombshell, Sheriff, that I want to share with the world. I've been holding it, but I think I have to expose Egbo and I this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, I will do so. JD, there was a day we were talking, very innocuous conversation. I'll start like this by saying, do you know that every morning when I'm having my shower, I think of him? Now it's
what?
When you're having your time.
Yes. Now it's not because we have an illicit relationship. I expressly deny that disclaimer. But there was a day we were gisting and he said about hygiene. Then he said he was dating one babe years when he was younger, and the babe said behind his ears was smelling. so that now he scrubs his ears. So everybody, when I'm having my, I now scrub my the back of my ears. And it's so weird. So Egbo, please get out of my head. I want to shower without thinking of you. Everybody, I'll clean my, I'll be out my ears.
It's so funny that when it happened, and she just told me something like, I won't, no point telling who she is, that Jimmy, always watch behind your ears. I never did. Until of course she called me. So now I even have the habit of scrubbing my ears.
And everybody, JT said,
what you need to do is give me your account number and your PIN. And then there's
I need to get you out of my mind, especially when I'm in the shower.
Okay.
It's not healthy.
It's 9:32. I'm just on Saturday, Mrs. Funkekuyoro, another of my paddy. You have paddy man. I don't think we have paddy woman. Another paddy man of mine. She'll be here on Saturday. And let me use the opportunity to, you know, congratulate her and her husband. I think it's their 30th or 40th wedding anniversary.
That's wonderful.
And I said, she should be given a national award, you know, for spending over 40 years with a grumpy old man.
Uncle Roger.
To Mr. Abiti Shesokeoro, congratulations. It's a nice feeling for those of us who failed the exam of life and kept repeating. when we come in the next world, we'll, you know. But these days for a marriage to last is a tough one, isn't it? You failed.
Well, I call it the four C's. If you in any relationship, you have the four C's. The four C's being commitment, communication, compromise, and compassion. You can't go wrong.
But you'll always think that you did all that. I don't mean you or I, but the feeling is, I'm committed, I'm this and that.
No, but if the marriage fails, then both parties are joined. It's rare that it's only one party that's totally at fault.
I think I'm inclined to believe, and I heard there's a book that talks about it. I don't know, I've forgotten the name of the book, but something to the effect that men don't understand women and women just don't understand men.
True that. We don't understand each other.
We don't understand each other. And now with the pressures that we have, the pressures of life, it is important that people should know is whatever it is, you just have to learn to be together now in this next dispensation. You can't go by the old rules. Nobody's going to be twiddling their toes somewhere and think somebody's going to go and bring. You can no longer marry tippers who will come and just keep offloading. Now, I think everybody will be expected to put in his or her own.
50-50. Value added.
But would you try again?
Almost definitely.
Is it the same Agbada we were about 20 something years ago? Or Kalorami?
It's more like a mommy moe kind of thing.
My own is just to tie it up and put a feather. That's an indication of where we might be going.
No comments.
But families do have problems, Segun. How do we survive these hard times? Have you given a thought to it? Because what the situation we have now is that income is dropping, not just in value, even in amount. For those of us who are into things like sponsorships and private sector, whatever, they are cutting all that. Some things that you get, maybe adverts on your blog, whatever, they are negotiating downwards. So with the value, you are taking, instead of one step downwards, you're taking three steps back. How do you think people can survive these hard times?
Well, I'm going to look at it this way. I'm going to say I'm following the spiritual economy. And the spiritual economy is where there's a casting down, there'll be lifting up. If you look at...
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Basically, if you look at Nigeria's situation today, one thing I don't discuss, you can never catch me discussing the dollar is worth this, that.
I don't
spend dollar, I spend naira. And I believe that when I, Segun Ademola Agbede, want to buy dollar, I'm going to buy it with enough naira. You understand? I will generate that naira to get the amount of dollar I want as at when I want to use it. You understand? So for me, it's a mindset. You have to, because in as much as we might say, Iloda, that it's things that there are people that are making money. Genuinely,
yeah.
I'm not talking about politicians. I'm not talking about Yahoo Yahoo boys and all. I'm talking about entrepreneurs. I'm talking about these what they call these guys. Tech guys, you understand?
Yes, it's their time now.
Jonas, people are coming up with ideas. You know, people are coming up, you know, for sponsoring. So in times of economic upheaval, there are opportunities that are created. So you have two choices. You either can sit on your posterior and say, oh, woe is me, Iloda. Or you get up there and say, you know what, I have to think, you know, sweeter the uses of adversity. And think to yourself, what can I do? I mean, you spoke about you and I, and you know, in many ways, you're like a mentor to me and a role model. Said, at your age, I mean, 70 something plus.
Where did all this come from?
Every morning, you're in the studio doing your thing. And, you know, and it's a job that's keeping you younger. So I want to say, okay, fine. This is what I want to do. And you're still looking at different ways to get things going. So it's a choice. It's a choice. I know for some people are really, I mean, they find it difficult, but that's where Nigeria is a country that is blessed. It's even with the amount of money that is in private hands.
I mean, the flights out of Lagos are full every day.
Full. People travel.
It's amazing.
One young guy, or called by young colleagues, he showed up with the studio yesterday with a ride he bought for 23 million. Oh. I looked at when he said, I'm going to tell you, understand? And I know what he does. It's working. You get. So, hey, guys are doing stuff. So you look at it, so, man. So, no, you know, nose to the ground. Yeah, things are tough, but we're alive, and it will always get better.
I think your dad was a traditionalist, in a way.
My father was...
That's a late colonel, I wonder.
Was a man of... You know, he was a man that came from very humble means.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that, was he... inclined towards a tradition, or he was Oyinbo man through and through?
No, we grew up in Ibaroki. He was from the, you know, Ugidi ruling house of Ibaroki, so we come from a royal family, so obviously he has his origins.
Wait a minute, you're going to be an Oba?
Well, I could be. My first cousin is the Oba, is the Olowa of Ibaroki land.
So I need a traditional tattoo. Where I was going, though, was before actually Titi Labour. Katendi. These are the things you get from watching Yoruba movies.
It's alone. It's God.
I know. We got to take some calls now.
It's God. God with the big capital, with the capital G. Not all these small G's.
No, okay. Mm. All right. Hello, good morning.
Yeah.
Ah, Kelvin, how are you doing?
Papa Beji.
In Gatrins.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
How could you mean I go find you?
Sorry. Nadi Wahala. You two little people, you can have as many children as you like. My cousin.
Because of
chief of staff.
Don't you have my classmate too?
God bless the chief of staff, Jerry.
Yes, amen.
Yes, Okujimi, I've said it on this platform several times that Nigeria is going through a phase. And everybody should brazen up for it because it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
I don't personally picture anybody shouting at a big power. Because a mistake that is done continuously is no more a mistake. It's not an error. And most of us are all progressing in error. In 2027, we are going to do the same thing again. So it's obviously clear that most people voted out of sentiment, out of bias, out of different reasons.
Yeah.
And that is why today the reality has done. A lot of people go, it's not the start. I'm not having anybody. This is not the reality. Because the people having this country now, most of them are pure politicians. Even the one that told us that he was a retired general, was going to do with this security. What did we see? It can't be now. So everybody should just brazen up. You're going to be in it for some time. Except something happens, and I don't know what was that thing that will happen.
Okay. Well, we pray that in 27 we'll be allowed to, you know, have a say in casting our vote, and pray that nothing will happen to stop that.
Yeah, well, I heard a news report that Atiku is going to lead the PDP alliance.
Well, this morning, Sheriff and I, don't let me speak for him. Mm. Luckily, he's here, but this morning I said, I said that I think there's Atiku fatigue. in the political space. I don't think there's much. There'll be much difference if in 2027 Atiku is flying another political flag. I think what you might then get is most people might just get fed up, and given what happened in the last election, the violence and everything, they might just jolly well stay home, because the impression is that votes don't count. And I don't think this government is interested in any reforms. Why would you put reforms when it was the same lapses in the system that got you up there? But because you'll be coming from time to time, so that discussion will happen another day.
No problem.
We will take one or two more calls, but before you go, I'm going to ask you about the African Cup of Nations coming up, because you're a sports person, but let me take one or two calls. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's speaking?
You have
Mr. Mr. Mba, the famous Mr. Mba. Yes, yeah. Sir. Please go on.
Uncle Jimmy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah. Guess you are welcome.
Thank you very much.
Jimmy, sometimes I got to agree with you by your explanation of what is going on in our country. Look at, Jimmy, I want to ask you, over the period of 4 to 5 years, I am back, maybe others, how can we hold on that this is what Senate, House of Representatives have done for the achievement of common man in this country? Why are you receiving highest Google amount of money as salary, as packaging? Look at the army, look at the police. They are paying their vibe with the service of mankind. But those ones, senators and the House of Representatives, can any Nigerian mark his hand on the chest and say, this is achievement we have gotten from these people over 4 years or 3 years ago? It's a shame. And we all are still pushing them. Another election will come. People will prove and go and vote. And look at what is going on in our country today. No rule of law. A common man cannot even know him or her right in a country which we are into.
Okay.
It's them. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Bell, thank you very much. I think that that kind of a thing that he said is the kind of thing that can bring tears to your eyes. Those who look at how you remunerate those who put their lives on the line. Do you think it's easy, Segun? And I wish your dad was alive. I would have asked him, but I hope I remember to ask Blade what it is like when you wake up in the morning and you know that where you're going, you might not come back alive.
I don't think it was easy. I don't think it's easy.
You know?
And I really do think that's one of the reasons I consciously wear this badge, this sample, because it's like, I've always had one, but this year I said I wear every day till January 15th because of my late father and because of the service of these young boys,
our brothers
and sisters, our sons and daughters that are laying down their lives for this country as we speak. So I think I think their service should really be recognized.
Yes.
In America, they have Memorial Day. In England, they have, or the UK, they have Remembrance Day, November 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And they respect their service men second to none.
Okay.
Second to none.
Oh, okay, now we are going into, the time is not anybody's friend on this program. We are going into Africa Cup of Nations. What are chances in reality? I know that, you know, you're a patriot to think of Nigeria, but in reality...
Okay, I'm going to that tournament with moderated expectations.
I like the way you put it, moderate. Where is it taking place, though?
Cote d'Ivoire. Kicking off on January the 13th, that's Sunday next. Nigeria is. I'm not too sure about us, but I'm hoping for the best. We have the reigning African player of the year, Victor Osimhen. We have Victor Boniface. We have some excellent players up front. So if the coach, Passero, can get the best out of them, we might be able to go far. But as I said, my expectations, I'm hoping for the best.
Why can't we just hit that 1994 level again?
Well, in 2013 as well, 11 years ago, I was actually there in South Africa. Funny enough, it was similar. We went into that tournament. It's quite funny. So maybe we're going to do something with most Nigerians. Not really. We didn't qualify for the last two editions, you know, so Nigerians were not really too optimistic about our chance. But we went there, went all the way to the final and won. So... I'm hoping for something similar this
every
year.
Every time I ask this same question, I ask one of our people here, you know, they come on before me, and they always like say, oh, Uncle Jimmy, don't worry, we have this one, we have that. Isn't football supposed to be teamwork? This gentleman that you have, other teams, they will target him. But there's an Arsenal fan around here. I'm a double-sided fan. Today I will support Liverpool. Next week I'll support Arsenal. But there's a diehard.
Anybody but City.
There's a diehard Arsenal fan here who will be telling us that we have Saka.
No, we don't have Saka. Saka plays for.
Why are you putting on my mic?
You have to say something.
Sheriff Omashio. But you know one thing I'll tell you as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Your bad run of form. It's good that it's happening now.
Yeah.
Gone like normally it happens later in the season when you can't correct it, but you can correct it now, get back on course, and I still fully expect you guys to challenge for the title.
What would you have to say of Man U, your team?
Our season is a write-up.
Are you changing? No.
I've been supporting Manchester United since 1968-69, so.
Was there an Arsenal? Oh, your dad?
My dad supported United. My brother supports United. My sons support United. It's a family thing. Yeah, so I can never leave them. All these people will go. The Glazers will go. They'll fade the top security. Then
I
will go.
I thought I was an Arsenal fan, but they sent me to this in Liverpool on attachment. So
Liverpool is doing quite well, to be honest with you. I wish them well this season. Liverpool last, as I said, anybody will sit here.
For me, what it is I really can't stand the pressure, you know. So now I just want to enjoy good football. Okay, I don't want
to be honest with you, luckily for me, I work in sports, you know, sports broadcast. So to a certain extent, I can watch football with a certain unsentimental detachment. Yeah,
I just look at the technical side.
There are times I watch United that they actually infuriate me and depress me. But I then withdraw. So I can understand what a regular fan feels like. You know,
what do you think of your goalkeeper, though?
He appears
a bit clumsy.
He's underperformed, and then there's some funny shenanigans. You know, he's supposed to report all players are supposed to be in camp. It's the Cameroon national group. But now we're hearing reports that he's going to stay in England till the 14th. He will play for us. I'm thinking, why are you making an exception for him? This guy should be in camp training with his national team. Team keeper. You brought him, allow him play. Let us even see what he can do. But no. He's afraid of losing his place. So he's asked for special dispensation from the Cameroonian Football Federation to stay till the 13th or 14th of January, which is a day before Cameroon kickoff. I think that's bang out of order.
What's the time now? It's 9:50, so we can't really. Next time you come, I'll be asking you questions on how we can develop our own football, because the patriot in me always tells me that. Which what is your own? These teams are in the UK, they're wherever they are. In fact, they're always. I don't even know what happens at La Liga or what happens to. The marketing has been so straight to the heart that it makes you think that football starts and ends with the Premier League. Shegun, we got to go. This is 9:50. What's up, Lagos? Are going to come next? I've been having a discussion with Shegun Agbede, my party man, who now washes behind his ear.
With vigorous alacrity.
Next time you are in Itsulere, you better go and pay tribute to the person who started all this.
I suspect who it is.
It's a young lady, so there's no trying to smack her. It's a young lady. And this was in the 90s, you know. How old was I then?
So it's a petty job. You've always.
Okay, I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, unless something crops up, I think we'll be doing an open mic for tomorrow. So it's something to look forward to. And don't forget that on Saturday, Mrs. Kioro will be here. And in advance, wishing her wedding anniversary, which means that she should be coming up with a bit of cake and chicken. It would be a good day for you to stop by on Saturday if I were you.
Mm-hmm. It's worthy, to be honest, it's worthy of celebration.
And I
congratulate her.
And I congratulate you that you're thinking of doing it again.
Oh,
I think I'll pass. You get married again on my behalf.
Definitely.
That's why we learned it for today. Sheriff, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
For staying back. Kofi Bartels, you better get that voice going before we start thinking something else. I just sent him a one-liner. Kofi Bartels, what did you lick? I'll see you tomorrow at 9.